It's good to be here. I'm immensely honored to be here. I love your pastors very much. Those were such gracious words from my dear friend. It's just one of those godly connections, and I love what I receive when I pray and what I receive from God in His presence. I also love the God that I receive through divine connections. Hallelujah. It's just wonderful. You just feel so rich when you're with one another. And so that's why He loves us to come together in the presence of God. Well, let's get into the Word of God today. And aren't you glad that God is still talking? Yeah. He is still talking. And He said some wonderful things last year, did some wonderful things last year. But there are things that He is saying into our hearts today, and there's something that He wants to say into our heart today. Praise the name of the Lord. In October the 28th, my youngest daughter, Annalisa, got married. So I've just got two, and so the younger one got married. It was a happy day for us. She married a wonderful person. And at that wedding, I saw something. I know this isn't in the order, but if you can go ahead and put that picture up. Over the floor, over this hall where we were, there was a very odd light. That's a light. It's not upside down. That's the way it is. The top of the picture is the ceiling. And it was a massive, massive light. When I saw it, I took pictures of it because it matched what I have seen in my heart for years. Not about my daughter's wedding, but about our life in Christ. So we're going to look into the Word of God today because it is ordained of God that we not just be His children and be delighted with that, but in that union with Him and in that connection with Him is great productivity. So Pastor George was talking this morning about great ideas, ideas that change things. And so in God, we are ordained to be productive, to be fruitful. We're not under the gun. We're not under compulsion to produce. I mean, in other words, God is not a tyrannical leader and beating our backs and saying, produce. He's not like a taskmaster to slaves that have a string of tasks to do. And he beats the backs of his children and says, produce. Aren't you thankful for that? That's not our God. However, that same word that we say produce, also, if you change it, the emphasis on syllables is produce or fruit. And our God is about produce, is about fruit. So we're going to look into the scripture today about it because this year that we have stepped into can just be another cycle. But for those of us that are stepping in through that door, it's a great year of productivity and fruitfulness beyond anything we've done before. So we're looking into the Word of God. If you will look at a verse of scripture, Paul prayed for a whole church, not just some select people in the church. He prayed for the whole lot. And it's in Ephesians, the third chapter. We won't pray the whole prayer. We're just going to highlight a portion of this prayer that he prayed for a church in Ephesians. Ephesians 3:16, and I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Wow. Then, as a result of that, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. So the root of your life will be the resting place of his love. In other words, the soil that the roots of your life go into will actually be his love. Now, Paul requested that. This was a prayer. You read the prayer in, just like in the New King James Version or in the Amplified, he prayed that they would be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. If that is just a given for every believer, that every believer is rooted in love and founded securely in love, then this prayer that Paul prayed is just superfluous. It's like, why did you pray it? Wasn't really needed. It just comes with the package. But that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to pray that people's roots would actually be in God and go deeply into God and his love gives us indication that it just wouldn't naturally happen. It doesn't happen just by default. And it also gives indication that roots of a believer can actually be someplace else other than the love of God. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, warns us about having a root of bitterness, doesn't it? Do not have a root of bitterness, that the fruit that comes through that root of bitterness then, when people eat of our lives or get around us, something about our presence, something about our words, something about something demeaning in our eyes or mean in our eyes spreads that fruit of bitterness. The scripture actually says that bitterness can be spread if the root is in it. Whoa. So Paul prayed for this whole church that their roots wouldn't be in that, but their roots would actually be in the love of God. So if you see a root system, which one of my son-in-laws, Evan, is, he graduated from Clemson University. Don't be mad at me because their football team is so good, which I didn't know anything about football until him. But anyway, about college. But in horticulture. And so plants have always fascinated me as something that God has used. Jesus referred in agriculture and identified spiritual concepts to natural things like that. But under the ground, there's a whole system, a whole root system. And then people who inspect fruit are able to determine what is going on under the ground by what is popping out on the branches over the ground. So there can be on a tree some fruit that comes out beautiful, and maybe some other branches actually are a little off. And so there can be some of the root system that is in good soil, drawing up nutritious and things from the soil and things that are beautiful and good. And then there can be a part of the root system that is in something vile or toxic or contaminated, and it will affect the fruit that comes out on a particular area of that tree. So Colossians tells us something also about roots. If you will go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. That is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned, at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your life is hidden away in God in Christ. Again, if the reality of this worked out in our life is just going to happen by default, it just is happening, Paul wouldn't have written to encourage them to set their affections on things above. Your affections, things that attract you, are the things that you are bringing into your life. So it doesn't just say affection, you set your affections. You can have multiple affections in your life. It's common. It'd be a very common thing for a human being to have multiple affections. But what Paul is commissioning and admonishing the church is to put their affections on things above. If you can put that picture of that light back up there again. Because this pictured exactly this verse of scripture. The roots aren't down. The roots are up. And so what we're recommended, or not just recommended, what we're admonished by the Holy Spirit through Paul is that our affections or our roots be in things of God. Because then we draw those things into our life and produce fruit for the people that are on the earth. Definitely, whatever is coming out on the branches of your life indicates where your affections are. That's a little bit scary or wonderful, depending on what's coming out on the branches of your life. And when I'm talking about branches, I'm talking about the fruit that comes out your mouth, the fruit that comes out of your eyes, the fruit that comes out of body language that you're not even aware of. All of that is fruit. So when our affections are in things above, we're drawing things out of heaven and producing them, manifesting them on the earth. It's possible because those root system or that root system represents your affections, you can have some affections up and some affections down. So you have a mixture of fruit. Yeah, a fruit salad. And some of the fruit's gone off. People have to pick and choose which branch they're going to eat off of when they're in your life. They have to look and see the way you're going to be before, you know, they want to get close to you. Is it going to be a good day? Is it going to be a bad day? And your fruit, the fruit that comes out of your life, is dependent on how people are to you. They're nice to you, okay, give you some fruit of good. If you're nice to me, I'll give you a nice fruit. If you're mean to me, I'm going to poison you. There's something that comes out of me. You can tell with the rolling of the eyes, with a... So you can get mad at yourself, spank yourself, beat yourself, make New Year's resolutions to be nice, nicer, better, and make better fruit and strain. Put that light back up. Strain to produce light. If you could put that picture back up. Oh, it is back up. I'm looking at myself. Okay. But actually, there's no way that those lights on those branches can be light They could be a light bulb, but they cannot actually be light and produce light unless they are drawing energy from something. You can't produce God in your world unless you are vitally connected to Him. And to produce Him in every area of your life, any day of the week, any hour of the day, requires that the roots go up into Him. It doesn't require that you strain really hard to produce light and produce good and to produce beautiful things of God. You don't have to work at it if you're just plugged in. One thing that I noticed about that light in that room, there were no sound effects. There was no groanings. There was no sound of it trying to put out some light in that room. It just shined. And it was beautiful. A life that is completely rooted deep in love and founded securely in love. And I do it this way, not this way. A life that is rooted deep in love and founded securely on love doesn't have to strain at manifesting God. You just do. And then you're not aware of you. People just are aware of Him. Didn't that sound like a good idea? Now, let's go on. I'd like you to back up to another verse of Scripture in Colossians. Go back one chapter. Colossians, the second chapter. Paul prayed this for this church as well. He said, your spiritual roots go deeply into His life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion in Him. Not just your devotions, but your devotions in Him. This has never, ever moved away from a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus can never be replaced by a whole lot of knowledge about the Bible. And I love the Bible. But the Pharisees loved the Scriptures as well. And Jesus said in John, the 5th chapter, He said, you study them because in them you think you have eternal life. And they're the very ones that testify of Me. You won't come to Me. You'll go to them, but you won't come to Me. We keep our devotion in Him. And through His Word, we get to feast more and more and more of Him. And it does keep getting better. If you'll look in John, the 15th chapter, this is the big fruit-bearing chapter. John 15, and we'll start in verse 4. Jesus said, abide in Me, and that's that, as the Amplified says, vitally united, rooted, drawing life. Abide in Me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I am in him bears much fruit. For without Me, you can do some things, but the hard things, you need to get the prayer group to pray for you so that then, no. Without Me, you can do nothing. But the opposite of that then is with Him, there isn't anything that you cannot do. You can do all things through Christ, who is strengthening, infusing you, encouraging you, empowering you. But it isn't just for you to be this, it's for you to be this, as a tree bearing fruit. Not everyone can reach what you have in God. it's available to them, but in the moment, in the moment of a day where you're working or where you're going to school, the people that you're with, not everybody knows how to get to God, but they could get to one of your branches. Your presence in their presence is a branch. God intends for what's in your life, hanging on your life, to be fruit that anybody can get. So, he says in verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples," or you'll be recognized as somebody who follows me. If you bear fruit, he prunes you so you can bear more fruit. But until there is much fruit, there's not an indication in this verse of scripture that he's glorified. Fruit or more fruit could just be a nice personality. Much fruit is not personality, it's supernatural. Nobody could be that good. Nobody could be that kind. Nobody could be that gentle. But if you are abiding in him and his word is abiding in you, and you are united to him. Now, what is the fruit? What is specifically, what is the fruit? One of the fruit is prayer fruit. And I know this church is very, very aware of and acknowledges their responsibility in prayer. But John 15 and verse 16 says, "You didn't choose me. I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world and bear fruit." Well, now that's true. But then this verse of scripture keeps going and describing the kind of fruit it's talking about. It says, "Your fruit will last because whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And so some of the fruit that is to come out in your life is prayer fruit. And today, as we were just worshiping the Lord all together, I got that in my heart that there are prayers that God wanted every single one of us to pray, and that was part of the reason you were born. You were born to pray some prayers. Nobody else can pray it the way you can pray it. We can't delegate the fruit that is to come out on the branch of our life. Like in a body of believers, the branch, we could be a whole branch. Delegate the fruit that is ordained to be in our fruit and say, "Well, that can just be on Pastor George and Terry's fruit, or Pastor Brenda's, or whoever else that, you know, is a leader, that can be their fruit." No, every branch is to be fruitful. And so there are some prayers that are ordained for you to pray. And only you can pray them the way you do. Recently, in obedience to the Lord, I started spending a particular time in a particular place in prayer. And it was really by invitation. I was praying otherwise, but I really felt that he was calling me into this place and situation of prayer. And because it was so distinct, this invitation was so distinct, when I got there, I didn't feel like I could lean on any experience in prayer I've ever had over the years. And the first 2 days that I showed up to that kind of prayer, I just all I could do is be quiet and just weep. Not weep because of anything sad. I wept because he chose me to have this kind of communion with him. I just thought, oh. But I didn't feel as though all the experience that I had, that I was showing him what I could do in prayer. I felt absolutely dependent on his inspiration to even know what to give out. And so it is with inspired prayer. Anybody, if you don't feel like, you know, you're so great in it, I didn't feel like I was so great in it either. And then this is the spooky thing. What if you did think you were great in it? What if you really thought you were a hot shot? That pride is repulsive to God. And so we always want to come humbly, confident in Him, confident in His infusion and ability. But we need Him if we're going to bear supernatural fruit. Especially in this time where the spirit of Antichrist magnifies man's goodness. We're amazing. We can do it. We are enough. No, we're not. We've actually been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. We're in Christ. We're totally dependent on Him. So there's prayer fruit. And then we've mentioned just a little bit about fruit in the Spirit or fruit of the Spirit. But let's look at this. Galatians 5:22. Being united to Him, being rooted and planted deep in love, founded securely in love, draws His life into us. And what comes out on our life, we've mentioned kind of generally, but specifically, here's a list of the different kinds of fruit. Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Of course, there's no law, you know, of it breaking the law or it being bad things. But not only that, it says there is no law, which includes also the law that's mentioned in Romans, the 8th chapter, the law of sin and death. These fruit, as what would you call that? They don't seem amazingly powerful. Like if you would be thinking of something powerful, you wouldn't think of the fruit of the Spirit. You'd think of the gifts of the Spirit for sure. But the fruit of the Spirit, they're the nice things. They're the good things. The sweet things. Then there's the other side of God that is like, bam, boom. It's about as good as I can be with sound effects. But, wow, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has helped me to see are like secret weapons. They look really nice, and so people eat them, and then they go, pow! They blow up the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And so sometimes we have minimized their potential because they look so nice. Love, joy, peace. But if we want something powerful, then we need to growl. We need something powerful going on in a relationship in our home. Then we need to really sock it. And maybe just sock someone. But there is no law against love. And love has the ability to completely disarm people who are armed. And it's a secret weapon. They don't know that it's happening, and suddenly it has happened. Love has that ability. So when hate comes, when we give fruit instead of hate, in return, I can hate you worse than you hate me, and I'll put a verse of scripture on it while I hate you. And do it in the name of the Lord. I don't care what kind of verse of scripture we wrap around hate. It will not be able to disarm hate. But love? Love is scary cruel to hate. It goes in to where the root of hate is, and it lays an axe to it. Hallelujah. So if somebody is dishing up a lot of hate to you, give it to them. I am so going to love you. Amen. Love, joy has the ability to disable the bombs of depression and tension. And the dispensing of joy doesn't have to be stupid in your workplace. Like if there's some depression and tension there, you don't have to, you know, be jumping all over unless you get inspired by the Holy Spirit to do so. But you can dispense joy either like a hose, you know, that's tuned to be that really hard stream, or you can diffuse it. Just wherever you go, be very aware that you have joy happening. And go around real stinky places in your office, you know, where there is tension, and just have joy. It's real. Your life needs fruit, but think about a tree. How much of the tree enjoys the fruit that comes off of it? There's some of the fruit that comes around the trunk. But most of the branches are going out further than just the trunk. The people who need this kind of fruit is beyond just you. It goes way beyond. And if you're rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, it's going to extend your branches further than what they have been in years gone by. You're going to go further. Your influence is going to go further. And then that brings his fruit further. It's not just seeing you a leafy person, but it is bringing his fruit into that area. Now let's go to the third thing. There's prayer fruit. There's fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at the third thing. Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 8 says this, "For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation. For it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us." I like even just the... I believe the New King James Version, "We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to good works. Recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us." Say this, lay hands on yourself and say, "I have a destiny.
I have a destiny.
I have a purpose.
I have a purpose.
For we are joined to Jesus." And so your purpose is not disconnected from him. It is an extension of his will and his purposes for this time and for the places that you live. And so his will and his purpose doesn't just happen because we say, "Lord, let your will be done on earth." It happens actually through us. We were actually created to manifest his purpose. Different people were created to manifest his purpose in different periods of time. This morning I was listening in Isaiah, and as it was talking about in Isaiah 45 about Cyrus, and in his time he was born to fulfill a purpose. In fact, before he was born, God already determined what his purpose was. Jesus, in his life, and then finally in his death, fulfilled a tremendous purpose. Didn't just come to live. Didn't just come to just only bear fruit in life of good and kindness and joy and wonderful things that we see in the fruit of the Spirit. But there's also a great purpose of God that comes out through the people that he has handcrafted. It says, we've become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. I think because dreams and visions for our own lives, and I'm not just talking about in the church world, I'm talking about even what is advocated and recommended and promoted through children's stories, through Walt Disney. You know, your dreams will come true. And so people are aware that they have destiny or that they have dreams. And you can do your dream. You can follow your dream and reach the impossible star. And all of those things are normal for our, not just church world, but our reality in the environment that we live in this age. But every destiny of every human is not unattached to God. Every person has been created for a purpose. Every church is here for a purpose. Every nation has been created for a purpose. Every vocation, everything that has been made is made for a purpose. I like how Colossians said it about creation, that everything has been made not only by him, but it's been made for him. And then the list of what that is not just the things that were created on day one to day six, but it also had to do with principality and power. And so it had to do with realms of government. It had to do with different people of influence. He made them, and he made them for himself. Everything is for a purpose. So when somebody says, I have a destiny, it's not just yours, it's his for you. When somebody said, I have a purpose, you do have a purpose, but it was his purpose that you were born for. Everything is connected. Nothing is rogue. Nothing is just unique and by itself. Everything is connected to him. Let's keep going. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny. So that is what we're saying here. We know, of course, that Jesus was planned before the foundation of the world. And then when he came, he just fulfilled all that was planned before the foundation of the world. I'd mentioned Cyrus, that prophecy about him and calling him even by name happened years before he was born. But the truth is, according to this verse of scripture, that before you were born, God already knew you were going to be born. These aren't just magnificent and new truths. This is what we do know. But not just that you were going to be born. You would be born to actually accomplish something that is attached to his purpose, and your purpose is within his. And so this goes on to say, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. So there is a destiny for every one of us. But the destiny doesn't happen and is not manifested and does not come to pass in your life Because somebody lays hands on you, or a special prayer is prayed for you, and just voila, suddenly the destiny is there. Wouldn't that be nice? Everyone who wants their destiny manifested today, come up in the front, we're going to pray for you, and you're just going to have your destiny. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for Jesus. Jesus fulfilled his destiny, or the portion of his destiny, when he was here on the earth, when he was sent to the earth. That destiny, he was born actually to die. We don't have to go back through Christmas verses of Scripture to see all of that and all the verses of Scripture that establish that fact. He was born to die, but when he was born the next day, he didn't get crucified. He wasn't crucified as a baby. He was crucified as a 33-year-old man. And there were a lot of good works that he did in between his birth and his crucifixion that led up to the fulfilling of his destiny. There are good things that we're to do, and I'm not just talking about goody two-shoe, I'm talking about works that come out of God. Work fruits that come out of God. That we do that lead up to the fulfilling of our destiny. Jesus's before he started in ministry, we don't have record of the different fruit that came as a result of his communion and connection with his Father, but he definitely had a communion and connection with his Father. He recognized his Father and spoke of his Father and his Father's business at age 12, for crying out loud. He identified that that's where his roots were in the Father. But starting with his ministry and all the things that he did, not one of the words that came out of his mouth or were actions that came out of his life was the product of a root that was in his culture. Whatever came out of Jesus, whatever came out of what he did, was not a product of a root that was just in the rabbinical school. We see how he spoke in John. Everything was about his connection to the Father. He spoke about his Father and his connection, and he did what he saw his Father do, and he said what he heard his Father say. Everything that came out on Jesus's life, these works were fruit of his roots. Hallelujah. Now we can gather around the tree of Jesus and just worship him and say, isn't that a beautiful tree? Isn't he an amazing person? And isn't that wonderful? And aren't we awful? But isn't he wonderful? The whole product was that the work fruit of his life was to bring many sons into glory, that we could all be rooted and grounded in him. That anybody that gets around you could have the same testimony of people that get around Jesus. Hallelujah. We have the same opportunity to be rooted and grounded in him and founded securely on him, that every work of our life, you think, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next thing that I am supposed to do. Or maybe you have decisions that you make. You can obsess on the choice. You can obsess on what is it that I should do. You could look at yourself, what you have done, what you're capable of doing, what you could do. You could obsess on all of that, or you could just root. Hallelujah. You say, well, you shouldn't consider all these things. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying your obsession, your rooting needs to be in him, because what comes out of him is prayer, is fruit, and also good works, so that you can glorify God with them. I so believe that word that God gave Pastor George about this year, about uncommon things that are going to be coming out, new things. The fruit that can come out in people hasn't been exhausted yet. The resource that we are rooted in is God. What can He give? We're not recycling other people's fruit. We're not being rooted in other people's trees. We're being rooted in Him. Hallelujah. What could heaven bring earth? We could say, oh God, manifest yourself. And our prayer is for that. But He will do it through these fruits in your life. And so we go all the way back to Paul's prayer. Oh God, help us be rooted in Him, founded securely in Him. And for sure, whatever is going to come out does not bring glory to you. It brings glory to Him. Hallelujah. Works that glorify God. Does it matter? Does it matter? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And we're going to start reading in verse 9. So whether we live or die, we make it our life's passion to live our lives pleasing to Him. And He already said, although we didn't read that particular verse in John, the 15th chapter, He's pleased when we bear fruit. Jesus said in John, the 17th chapter, He said that I have glorified you by doing the works that you gave me to do, by finishing them. We glorify God when we worship the Lord, when we sing songs, and when we praise Him and raise a hallelujah. That's one way to give glory to God. But what Jesus said is that you glorify God by doing and finishing the work He gave you. Hallelujah. So I don't know what He's given me. Well, get a group of friends together and ask them what they think you should do. That'll sort it all for you. Tune in to some different shows on TV, you know, that are talking about different good ideas. And Pinterest is a great way to find out your works. I'm just saying that your Father and my Father is inviting us to plug into Him and get something that you can't get from any other person, you can't get from any other thing, that only comes from Him. And when it comes from Him, you may not realize it, but it's going to come out your life somewhere in fruit, either prayer or fruit of the Spirit or something you do that you wouldn't even known to do. Something else beautiful about being rooted in Him, and that life starts extending your branches so that you don't grow like this and everything is about me. You start growing like, and you reach out. What happens with trees that are around each other? Their branches start touching one another. The most precious friends that I've ever had in my life and that God gave me, I didn't seek them out. They came from life that made my branches go out, and I bumped in to Terry Pearson's. Whoa, my branch touched your branch and we're all tangled up. God wants to tangle you up with some people you wouldn't have even known you wouldn't have even known that you were to have contact with them. Praise the Lord. Let's finish this verse. For one day we will all be openly revealed before Christ on His throne. so that each of us will be duly recompensed for our activities or what we do in life, whether good or worthless. Worthless stuff comes through roots that aren't in Him. We're going to do something in life. The ruthless stuff or worthless stuff comes from roots other than Him. But roots that are in Him, what comes in out of your life, will be recompensed, will be rewarded. Does it matter? This verse of scripture, and also 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, says all of us are going to give an account to Him. Not for what we believe, but what we do. Again, our God is not a produce God. But because we're either rooted in Him or something else, that's going to be examined. It does matter where our affections are, what our eyes love, what our ears love, what our time loves, what our money loves. It matters what we love. It matters what we entertain ourselves with. It's going to come out. Hallelujah. He told me one time, that when I was not liking what my daughter was doing, my little daughter, she was acting not so good. She had some bad fruit coming out. So as her mother, I thought, I'm going to fix her fruit. I'm going to fix her good. So I started telling her what she was going to do and what she wasn't going to do. It sounded pretty holy to me. Was using all the right words and all the right verses, and I'm just not going to have that anymore. Have you ever tried that on somebody and then you had it some more? So anyway, I was telling her about it, and then I talked to the Lord. And He said, don't do that anymore. And I thought He would be really impressed with what I did because, you know, sounded pretty spiritual to me. And He wasn't impressed at all. He said, don't do that anymore. Well, what do you want me to do? Just let her go? I said, no. So I've shared with you today what He shared with me. Pray this. Don't work on her fruit. Pray about her root. Pray about her root. Paul prayed for a whole church about their root. If you get people's root in the right place, you're going to get the fruit in the right place. It just works that way. Hallelujah. We're going to end that way today, except for I'd like you to look at one more verse of scripture and then we close. Psalms 111 and verse 2. And this is King James, good old King James. Psalms 111 and verse 2 said, the works of the Lord are great. I've studied these works. They're amazing. As far as in Scripture, some of His works are creation, some of them are miracles, some all different kinds of works. But today we're looking at what you're supposed to do that brings you from your birth to your destiny, the fulfilling of the purpose of your life. There's works that bring you there. What are they? Well, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. If you want to know, seek them out. Seek them out. How do you seek them out? Well, they're in Him, so you seek Him. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You're not going to find the truth about you someplace else. You're going to find it in Him. He may amplify that truth through sermons or through wonderful things and counsel that you receive, but where you go to get it is not there. You go to get it here, and he brings it to you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Can you just put your roots up? Hallelujah. Father God, we put our heart, our desires up into you. Medigidiji. And I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that shows if any desire in our life is misput. And specifically, I thank you, Father God, that just by declaring it today, there's somebody who's had your roots really good. It's just this one root is you're pulling some toxin into your life because of a toxic relationship, and you're pulling bitterness into your life. Hallelujah. That just comes to light right now. Hallelujah, that comes to light right now. Now move your root up to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You say, but doesn't that need to fix first? No. It doesn't have to fix first. Move your root away from that. And then you can give fruit right to that very relationship that has brought you pain. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, let's just worship him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the love of God that is going into mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today we sang about the goodness of God, that he is good. I say it in the morning. I say that he's good in the morning. I say that he's good at night. And, drawing his goodness. I was thinking when we were singing that song, it wasn't the mightiness of God that the children of Israel were singing about when they went out before the armies, surrounded with Ammonites, Moabites, and Mount Seir. They weren't singing of the mightiness of God. They were singing, the Lord is what? And is what? His mercy endures. That doesn't sound scary at all. That doesn't seem like heavy artillery at all. And yet that's what they sang to those armies, those enemy armies. The goodness of God is greater than the meanness of the devil. Praise the name of the Lord. Can we put our roots up into the goodness of God? We were singing it, but draw his goodness. Oh, gerede of regede. Hallelujah. Something unjust has been going on with somebody in here. Something unjust. Oh, nderaria greshtede. And when you pray about it, you start getting tense about it, and you start really, really straining on it changing. But I'm telling you what, the goodness of God is going to oil that thing up, untwist it. Hallelujah. Spread the goodness of God out on it. Somebody means you harm, but God means for you good. And the goodness is stronger than the devil's harm in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Let's praise him. Hallelujah.